Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I got an email from a fan who said she was listening to our ads in the HelloFresh ads.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I'm thinking, hell yes, my boys are making it. Get that money. Please know I know that ads don't get you rich. I'm here for it and happy at the thought of you enjoying some sort of income from this amazing podcast. That was until Alex pulled the somebody making soup bullshit that resulted in me snort laughing coffee all over my white scrubs I wear to my nursing school clinic.
Out of paper, out of stock, there's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly. For your business paper needs, or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and member of the Yakuza who happens to be visiting the Lackawanna County Trolley Museum, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin Janes, human scarecrow at Shute Farms.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Oh, you rich people, you think you can do whatever you want to the servant class?
No, don't turn this into a political thing.
I will poison your food.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll start with our main topic, and then we'll head to the conference room for a question from a listener. We'll do a quick Ordinary Things, which is where we relate our own lives to The Office. And then we'll finish up with some listener-provided trivia. Big episode here, guys. And what we'll be talking about today is murder. Murder, Season 6, Episode 10, my favorite episode of The Office. It aired on November 12, 2009. It was directed by Greg Daniels and written by Daniel Chun. And I didn't recognize that name, so I looked up Daniel Chun. He's written a lot of stuff. He's done so much stuff. He's a Korean-American writer who's written for The Simpsons and for Happy Endings, as well as many other shows. He's been a head writer for The Office, getting 2 Emmy nominations, and he also wrote The Delivery, Nepotism, Training Day, Doomsday, and Tallahassee.
All bangers.
Bangers. And just another fascinating fact about him, he studied biological anthropology at Harvard University. So,
oh, wow.
Murder. I mean, this is, like I said...
Everybody, Oscar found a reason to look on WebMD.
This is my favorite episode of The Office. I think it just includes some of my all-time favorite quotes, favorite moments. I love it because besides Jim as co-manager, the episode could almost exist anywhere in the series, it feels like. You've got the classic... the branch is closing or the company's going bankrupt and Michael is trying to distract the office with Bell's bourbon and bullets and Battlestar
Bell's
Galactic.
Burbits.
I mean, I don't know. How do you guys feel about this episode? Is it up there for you? Does it even crack your top 5 episodes of all time?
I mean, I think I was very excited to pick this one up. We're doing another single episode, and as we were kicking around topics, like we knew that this is your favorite episode, and so I was so excited that we get to talk about this one together. I like this one quite a bit. It's not like in my, you know, personal favorites, but it is, I think, one of the most fun, one of the most silly, one of the most unique. I feel like if I were to turn on a TV somewhere and The Office would be playing in syndication, this is the episode you're most likely to see, and
yeah,
for very good reason. So I'm very excited to dig into this. I also feel like this episode has some of the most office lines that you, Sean, say when we're hanging out.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can vouch for
that. In addition to the Charles Minor lines from that arc, lines from Murder, I feel like, are very popular in the Sean Roney vernacular.
So, Delta Park, yeah. I do declare.
So excited for all of that.
Tube City, you owe me one.
Yeah.
Sean, I believe Sean's, for years, Sean's Wi-Fi network was called Tube City.
Yep.
Still might be.
It's not anymore since we moved, but I gotta change. I can change that.
It's great. Yeah. Listeners out there, if your Wi-Fi network is named after an Office thing, let us know what it is.
Oh yeah,
Tube City's darn good.
I think Tube City was the name of the network, and I Do Declare was the password. In case you ever come over and hang out at my house. Yeah,
get some internet access. Mm-hmm.
My Wi-Fi network is a 30 Rock reference. Vic Nightingale.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Mine's still a jumble of numbers. I still haven't customized it, but I'm now taking suggestions for Office related network names.
Nice.
To answer your question, Sean, no, it is not in my top five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it never will be.
Wow.
I do love this episode. I agree that that's so true. This is like most likely to watch this episode on TBS.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I think that's because this comes in a run of episodes of post Niagara, which is obviously a huge moment in The Office. And then you get this run of Mafia, The Lover, Koi Pond, Double Date, and Murder. And they sort of sit as like this extra little set of episodes that I think you could take any of those episodes out and sprinkle them into other seasons and you could probably work them in. This one is kind of is a hinge episode going from Jim and Pam's wedding and everything to sort of setting up the storyline that eventually gets us to Saber to season 8 and 9, right? Because you're basically get this article that, hey, the company's probably going bankrupt.
Right.
They're going to be
insolvent. Journal.
They're going to be out of money in the journal. Oh, the wall. And
Aaron, do we have the journal? You mean your feelings journal? You told me to put it in the time capsule.
Did you? I love that.
Where's my go bag? There's nothing in it. You're telling me now.
It's the same amount of attention and care as the company maybe folding is to Michael's feelings journal.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is sort of the point of this episode, is to get us from where things are relatively normal when this episode starts, right? They're just kind of hanging out. This is a very, almost a season one plot.
Everything
a threat of people losing their jobs.
Yes.
This is back to the basics.
And everything is good at this point in time, it seems like. I mean, besides...
Michael and Helene are broken up.
Yeah, right. That's over. Yeah.
Jim and Pam are married.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of grooving. There's a new crush with Aaron and Andy, letting that play out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's kind of interesting is for an episode that you said, you know, maybe could, it feels like it could belong in a number of places in the series. This is one of the episodes that when I think about it, I think this is where it happens. This is where the company is actually bankrupt after all the different threats of that happening. And this is the episode where it happens, where Michael gets everyone to play along with him. So those two things happening together make for a really very standout episode. I mean, on one hand, you have Jim who's trying to there's something very interesting about Jim's sort of denial about the fact that the company's going under and like who knows what's going to happen. Like the fact that he wants to keep his head above water and keep working and the fact that Michael is so willing to embrace distraction. And this is the time to embrace distraction, it seems. Mm-hmm. So even David Wallace, when he gets him on the phone, he's like, Jim, I can't really wrap my head around that right now. We'll be out of money by the end of the year. Insolvent. So there's not a lot of, there's no like hope. There's no like keep working, keep trying. It's just, that's it. And it sets up Michael's game perfectly.
That moment too, when like Jim has now become a co-manager, he's actually taking it seriously. He's trying to do a good job and he feel like he gets all the way to there. And that moment, that exchange where he's like, hey, I've got some ideas for bringing in a big new client. And it's like, the rug is pulled out from under him because David's like, it doesn't really matter. Sorry, but it's not going to happen. And Jim's a little, and then Jim's kind of spinning for a lot of this episode where he's like kind of desperately trying to like keep everything going. And he becomes the guy who's like, hey, I know it's pointless, but like, let's just work. And this is where Michael as the big picture guy comes in and gets this game, this weird game out of his cupboard.
I love too that like, Michael does it first. He doesn't go straight to distracting everybody. He himself panics at first and throws up in the restroom, oh, yeah. which is another just pooping. You know how I be.
You know how I be.
Crazy world, a lot of smells.
Crazy world, a lot of smells.
I love that he gets, you know, Michael does start panicking and then he goes into character, which is often his move. And it's just very fun to watch the rest of the office go along with him. So often when they're in the conference, everyone, they're so exhausted by whichever mm-hmm. character it is, Michael Klump, Michael Scarn, Prison Mike, whomever it is, they're this captive audience. Bang. And they start to play along. Even Angela and Stanley are won over by the promise of sandwich platters and baby carrots. So
I know that little whisper, like baby carrots.
Yeah.
It's such a funny moment. Mm-hmm. That keeps Angela there.
Well, and then you get Dwight being full Dwight. You know, Dwight always commits very hard to whatever he's doing. And yeah. Angela, Andy, Phyllis, who is doing so well. They all have moments where they're really into it.
Yes.
And yet again, it's Pam who's the first to stand up and take a step and be like, I'll do it. I'll say this thing in the voice and we'll all have fun. Mm-hmm. And that is like, it's always Pam. When Michael throws out a lifeline and needs someone to take it, it's usually Pam, and she doesn't disappoint here.
Mm-hmm. That's clever. Like debutante. Mm-hmm. I love that from Andy.
Yeah.
Andy gives the accent lesson and they're off and running.
Yeah.
I've got something to say to Beatrix Bourbon, if you don't mind.
Oh, doggy.
Yeah, Michael gets so excited. Oh, man. I just like can't get enough of the lines in this episode. I mean, first of all, actually, we didn't even talk about the cold open, which is one of my all-time favorite cold opens. Dwight attacking himself, demonstrating karate for...
Oh, gonna flip you.
The fact that he has Phyllis as his like demonstration partner as well is super funny, that she's willing to
I know.
Boo, boo, boo. Broken arm, broken nose.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
Exact same energy when he's looking at the camera and hitting her with the elbow as like when he's hitting the mannequin.
Yeah. In the fight.
Yeah.
It also, that's another piece of why this episode, I think, is so watchable and rewatchable. This would be, if you've never seen The Office before, you could show this to somebody and they would find it funny because it's just people being very silly, Dwight being very over the top. And I feel like the cold open really plays into that as well.
Yeah, so I feel like someone watching this would be like, so there's two bosses in this show? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a long story, but yeah.
I mean, you just get to see them like speak and just try to pretend to be characters, which I think is always very funny, you know. Mm-hmm.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on. It is our time. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Yeah, we've got to, and actually I've got the list here of everybody who is in the murder mystery game. We got Voodoo Mama Juju, played by Angela.
It's not her fault. She was exposed to Harry Potter.
Beatrix Bourbon, played by Phyllis, the person that Dwight most medium suspects. Debutante, played by Pam. The butler, played by Dwight. Caleb Crawdad, obviously, is Michael. Naughty Nelly Nutmeg, played by Aaron. Nathaniel Nutmeg, played by Andy. Rich Cowboy, played by Kevin Malone, with the cigar and the wad of cash.
By the horses.
Yeah, the horses. Yeah.
And Jim plays himself as a time-traveling co-manager, is what somebody wrote.
So that's in the deleted scenes. Where
okay.
Jim is Jim is trying to get a hold of everyone, and he's in the room, and he says, I'm a time traveler from the year 2009, and there's a paper company with a lot of work that has to get done. And Dwight says, no fair. If there's time traveling, then I should be able to time travel to the night of the murder and see who did it. And Jim says, okay, you did it. You can time travel. Who did it? Dwight says, it was too dark. I couldn't see. Also, Andy...
I already declared you it was too dark to tell.
Andy says, as it turns out, I was adopted and am not Nelly's brother. And Ryan and Ryan in character says, I don't know what that has to do with the game. And Andy says, I just wanted to say it.
Yeah, that's, I guess that's the, I mean, is the A and B storyline are pretty intertwined, which is like the threat that Dunder Mifflin goes bankrupt and playing this game. Mm-hmm. Those are the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then you have, of course, this Andy and Aaron sort of crush starting to play out.
They?
And
yeah.
Asking a date in character becomes very confusing for Andy.
And for Aaron.
And for Aaron. And it gets harder and harder to watch because you're like, how old is Andy and how is he this mortified to just like clear it up? Even in that moment where they're just in the kitchen talking, still in accents of just being like, hey, sorry, to be clear, I do want to take you on a date. Like, come on. Like, you could do that.
Yes.
Come on, man.
I've been waiting for the stars to align. Literally, there's a skylight in my room and I'd like for the moon to be in view.
I was hoping she would ask me out, but it's time for me to take the Nard dog to take matters into his own paws.
There's one of my all-time favorite Aaron moments is in this, where Andy walks up to her after Michael declares that the game is still on. And Andy walks up to her and says, just thinking about Weekend at Bernie's. It's funny. The guy's dead the whole time. And Aaron says, I haven't seen it.
Like,
the way that she just keeps up her enthusiasm even though she's
doesn't even know what he's talking about.
My boudoir is always open.
I caught a new line in my rewatching this right after the opening. Michael is talking to Andy and he says, but I would say my favorite art form is a tie between sculpting and stand-up comedy.
Yeah, never seen him sculpt.
I know.
No. I would love to see some of his sculptures.
I thought he would have said magic.
Yeah.
Woodwork.
Stand-up comedy. Yeah.
So what have we seen Michael do? Painting? Woodworking? It's either pine or Nordic cherry.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
But never sculpture. Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Music?
Perhaps.
Certainly.
Filmmaking?
Filmmaking, yes.
Filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. I love that he goes to Andy to talk to, though. I feel like Andy is the perfect audience for Michael to approach with his, like, weekend chats or his just random opinions. Andy's always going to bounce it off in a very funny way. I did stand up once, killed. Michael says, that sounds hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Really quick note on the Crazy World Out of Smells moment. It dawned on me that it could only have been Kevin in that moment because no one else in the office, anyone else would have just, like, accepted the smell and gone in and not said anything.
Yeah.
But Kevin is immediately like, did you throw up in here? It smells like vomit.
Yeah.
No one else would have done that.
No.
They would have just
certainly
gone in there.
Not.
I love that that even though the game gets ruined, Michael still continues. That's like that's a very hallmark trait for Michael Scott is that he never knows when to stop.
Right, even though they find out that Beatrix Bourbon is the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens fairly, like there's still a lot of episode left when that moment happens, but now you found out Miss Beatrix Bourbon was the killer. But yes, it takes this unrelenting optimism from Michael and this need to play this game with everyone that for some reason they go back and keep playing. I don't know what they would have done other than just having fun and character together. But there's still this, I mean, throughout this episode, they're checking in on where corporate's at. Shout out to Oscar, who does his best to do an accent. And I feel like the real Oscar is probably very good at accents, and he's doing it. I feel like he's, like, altering it as Oscar the accountant would do it. It's a very good job.
Very good job,
Oscar Nunez.
The bloopers from that scene are fabulous because Steve Carell can't even keep it together.
The plantation, the people that buy us the seats,
the seats,
manure.
Michael, I can't.
Michael gets it's like an extended improv scene for Michael, and he does get a gun in the end, as we see is the Michael move in improv, but he gets everyone to go along with him. Dwight is the detective that's interrogating him. I already declared it was too dark to tell. Stop playing games with me, Crawdad. There's
you think this is a game? This is my life.
That's another Sean line that we hear a lot. This is not a game. This is my life. But then Andy and him and Pam down at the end, they all play along. They stake to the last. The tag of this episode is the three of them involved in that standoff, mm-hmm. and it's Michael, Dwight, Andy, and then Pam as a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Not going down like this.
A very memeable image.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As we've seen out there.
Indeed.
Deb, what in the world? Do you have the vapors?
Oh, yes. I love on the way back in. My heart nearly leapt out of my chest.
That was the cut for the beginning drop, was that little bit there. I love when they go back to the room and Stanley's like, do we have to play? It's just like, no.
And he just stays there. He goes right back to it, yeah.
Oh man.
There is an interesting moment where Jim and Pam are talking, and Jim says, we're good company, we're gonna be fine, and Pam says, we could both lose our jobs,
right?
Which is something I think that we as viewers maybe hadn't considered before, and maybe Jim in his stay the course kind of mentality hadn't considered as well, that both of them would be out of work. So shortly after that, I think Jim confronts Michael and then becomes, you know, starts to play along with the game. There's been mm-hmm. another murder. So it's interesting. Because on some level, David Wallace is kind of abandoning them as well.
Right.
In all the chaos, David just kind of steps out. And I think that's one thing, you know, we've never done a David Wallace episode. I hope, fingers crossed, that I'm not getting that one wrong.
No, we haven't.
But for all, like, David is portrayed to be a really nice guy, but we've never seen him do anything that shows him as like a very successful or strong manager, really.
It's true.
His biggest move is rewarding Michael Scott or letting him, you know,
right,
going back and forth between trying to punish Michael or reward him for doing so well. Like,
he got pretty mad at them during stress relief. Mm-hmm. After the fire drill.
You know what probably did not help their financial situation was a season earlier hiring back three people full-time salaries, benefits, all that stuff.
Or hiring the Cirque du Soleil guys as salaried employees. That didn't help with the year-end tax stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, David Wallace just kind of, he kind of walks out of this episode. He doesn't reassure them that much.
Really quick sidebar, Edwin, you mentioned, I hope we haven't done a David Wallace episode. Little shout out to our Patreon, because we've now been put up a poll of what characters and episode topics we want to do next. Yeah. And so we're going to let our Patreon members vote on what episodes we're doing. So I put one up of like, what should our next character episode be? And Toby and Jan are in a dead heat right now. Whoa. It's a one vote difference right now. So join that Patreon and let know. I didn't have David Wallace on that list. And I didn't have Bob Vance as the other one, so. But we still got Nelly, Toby, Todd Packer, Jan, David Wallace, Bob Vance, if we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's Toby and Jan.
Like, it's coming down to Toby and Jan,
like,
right?
Like, together,
now.
That would be the topic of the episode.
Nelly in a distant third.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Todd Packer on the bottom.
I like the idea of having to do an episode about all the times that Toby and Jan interact together.
Yeah.
That would be pretty short.
Yeah.
Pretty short episode.
No, Toby is your representative.
Man, I'm just thinking, I mean, this is the part where now I'm probably just going to say all my
Please
favorite
do.
Moments
that's
from
I, that's
this
all I want.
Episode.
Hey everyone, Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
That's a good one, certainly. I love, dude, Michael is like, now on your character card, it tells you who you are and what your alibi is. Everything else is up to your imagination. So if you talk slowly in real life, your character could say, have been kicked in the head by a horse, which is just completely directed at Kevin.
Nice. And he just goes, oh, I'll try that.
Yeah. Whoa, I'll try it. Yeah.
Y'all. People are really getting into it.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all.
People do get into it. It's, you know, it's interesting to play this in just that conference room. Like, such a tight space to play a game like this, mm-hmm. where you need to go like have meetings and talk to people. And
even Meredith would be there. She inquires
I'm a
about
dead body, and these are my brain chunks.
She also sets up that like date with Nelly and Kevin together.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know what though. That is, we talked about best facial expressions on a Patreon episode once.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's face when Erin says, "My boudoir is always open," and puts her arms around Meredith and Kevin. His face in the back is about the, maybe the best face of the whole series. Just
really good.
I'm going to go back and look at it after this.
It's amazing.
We also get...
When are you going to boo me?
Darn. Like his, like, darn! The way that he checks his anger or his frustration. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Darn. You are murdering the Nardog.
We also get a brief appearance from Creed in this episode. He just comes in and says, "Hey, sorry I'm late. What's going on?" "Sir, there has been a murder, and you are a suspect." And I love the way Creed goes, "Okay, hey."
Very good. Okay, hang on
just a second. Let me settle it. And then he runs.
See Creed's car, that old caddy.
That old caddy.
Pretty sweet.
Screech out of the parking lot.
I pulled up Andy's face. I really want to send it to you guys.
Please.
I have to figure out how to do it. Actually, oh man, I'm so sorry. This is probably derailing this entire episode.
No, that's okay. we're chilling here.
Yeah, we're having a good time. I'm trying to think. I'm sure I'm forgetting some other fabulous moments from this episode. I mean, I do like to see. That moment when Michael yells it at Jim, and it turns out that Michael kind of does have a plan, sort of, for how to get through this day.
Yes.
Which maybe he could have shared with Jim before yelling at him, but still.
Yeah, it's like this whole time Jim has just assumed, oh, Michael's just being a kid and not worrying. But really, it does have Michael did have a reason to go get that game. Mm-hmm. And he probably thought of it in the moment as he was talking in the conference room and he runs and grabs it. But it's like, they need this game, Jim. Let us have this stupid little game. It's like Michael knows it's stupid. Michael knows that they shouldn't be doing this. And but he knows that. Look, it's all pointless anyway. Why work? Everyone's gonna be distracted at work, so we might as well do this game.
Yeah.
And he's right.
He's right.
People take to it.
Yeah.
I emailed it to you.
Okay.
I don't know if you want
to
keep
this
in.
We'll have to post it. Yeah.
That's fine.
It's pretty all right.
it's a look at that old dude in his Rolodex Go moment, kind of, mm-hmm. for Michael. It turns out
the soft skills of managing.
Yes.
Knowing you need to know when to work, but more importantly, when to not work.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Michael's strong suit.
Yeah. And then we get
he's
the
well prepared for such a moment.
Get the wisdom from Jim just about, mom and dad and when parents got to help distract the kids. Kind of reminds me of when we have Pam and Michael Pam and Michael starting the Michael Scott podcast company and like, doesn't she make a parent analogy there too, for like one of them is freaking out and the other is calm or something like that?
Yeah,
she does. Yeah.
I might be mixing them up, but
that was one of the first when I briefly worked as a raft guide, one of the first lessons you learn is fake it till you make it, which is this exact same lesson.
Yeah.
And it applies in a lot of scenarios, which is the one thing you can't do when people are in your boat is start acting like you don't know what's going on or what to do, because then everyone panics.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know, pretend you do. It's going to help.
Absolutely.
And I think that's Michael, because I think Michael starts legitimately freaking out, hence the vomiting scene when he's talking to David Wallace and he's trying to get David Wallace's secretary to spy on them.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be hilarious?
So he does take a couple steps to actually like figure out the situation, but he doesn't know, and so he starts freaking out, and so he just goes to the game.
Yep.
And Michael has that great talking head about the power of games. Games have the power to distract people from stressful situations. Battleship got me through my parents' divorce. Yeah. Operation got me through my mastectomy, i.e. my operation. I don't think I would have been able to endure my breakup with Holly had it not been for Toss Across. Do you guys know Toss Across?
I don't even know what Toss Across is.
Toss Across is basically like cornhole, isn't it?
With tic-tac-toe. Where you like throw?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh!
It's a game that does not make any sense for the sake of enduring a breakup,
right? And who's he playing
all the other
these
ones
with?
Track pretty well of like Battleship, like this one-on-one trying to destroy each other. That would resonate for going through a divorce with your parents.
Yeah.
Operation, but yeah, Toss Across. I guess the distance.
And he says at the end of the day, this is the hardest that I have worked in a long time.
Yeah.
So
there's
Michael,
been a lot of murder and a lot of intrigue. My little heart can barely take it no more.
It's fun just to hang out with that accent.
Yeah,
for a while.
Exactly.
I love it.
It's fun.
You're doing this kind of Florida panhandle thing. Really should be doing a Savannah accent, which
like
is
molasses sort of spilling out of your mouth. Yeah.
And we also get another moment of Michael using music to kind of soothe what he's going through.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Rock-a-bye.
Rock-a-bye.
Need more mullins, and he turns it up.
Turns it up.
And then that the line is just, even when she smiles. When Alex and I were on before you jumped on, Sean, that was just the thing we were laughing about.
I love it.
It's similar to the James Blunt song in season 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Touch my heart, touch my soul. Or the way that Michael uses those music. Remember when he leaves at the end of the job? I want to thank you for it.
his lecture at Ryan's business school.
Yeah. Yeah.
He loves a portable stereo. Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I just want a little taste of it.
I don't want to buy it.
Just want to taste it.
Oh boy! But one of the all timers in terms of just being fun, and silly, and insanely quotable, and
absolutely.
Any other final thoughts on murder?
Don't do it.
No, I just like you said, it's just I think we covered all my favorite quotes already. So, there you have it. Murder.
Maybe what if this is just an idea, and we can cut this if it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
We could do a quick little run of our favorite episodes. So this was yours for murder.
Yeah.
We can deal with Alex's next, which has been stated as money.
Yep.
Yes.
And then we'll go with mine.
Still tracks.
And I'll have to pick one. Probably.
Yeah, we already did Dinner Party.
The Dundies is probably my favorite. At least
we've already
today.
Done the Dundies.
We have. Yeah, there's
that's
doubt.
Right.
But we'll find
one. So you'll have to pick a new favorite.
Pick a new show, man. Yeah.
Look at Edwin and his Rolodex go.
Yeah.
Also the sound of you going through your Rolodex.
Yeah.
All right.
Where I've got cards on every episode. Look at the back of this one. Tall and Beats.
Yeah. All right. Let's head to the conference room.
All right. Let's conference room it up.
Hey,
nice.
A new one.
From the episode, you know?
Perfecto.
Jimbo.
Jimbo.
We just got a nice little voice memo, not even a voice mail, as you'll hear, a nicely recorded voice memo sent to us for a quick conference room discussion.
Hey, my name's Corey. I'm calling from Ontario, Canada, and my quabity assurance is if you could have one character from The Office join you guys on the podcast, who would it be and what kind of questions would you ask them? So not the actor, but the actual character. Love what you guys are doing. Keep it up.
Nice. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Corey. That's a great question.
I
can't believe this hasn't come up in 120 episodes.
All this time.
I hope it's not too boring of an answer, but I was thinking I would have Michael Scott on the show. Because I can just imagine how excited he would be to be interviewed. And I think he would say some pretty ridiculous stuff.
He would. That's why I wouldn't want Michael Scott. He would talk for so long.
So about nothing.
About nothing.
Yeah.
He would be just as a podcast guest, he might be a little, I think he'd be pretty obnoxious.
Yes.
He'd be really nervous, so he'd start saying a lot of stuff. and we know when Michael gets nervous, he starts to do all sorts of different characters and things. And not to mention, he'd probably say some offensive stuff on our show. He'd see all sorts of things. But, I mean, his name is in our podcast name, so he'd be stoked on that.
Yes.
My first instinct was Michael Scott. I think partly because I feel like you could get him to give you some amazing answers about like his favorite character to play, what was going through his head during certain times in the show. How much did he act for the documentary? Mm. I'm curious about all of that. But since Sean said Michael, I will go with... I'll go with Toby.
Okay.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Nice.
He said with a question mark at the end, I'll go with Toby.
Toby?
I think...
Toby for manager?
Yeah. I think Toby would have enough distance from the rest of the offense that, he could give you a pretty good point of view on a lot of things that happened and a lot of interactions and moments from the show or from the documentary run, I guess.
Yeah.
I think Toby would have a very interesting point of view on a lot of it.
He would also, I mean, he's the one who sees all the complaints. He's the one who files all the reports. He's the one who, he's got the biggest lens on the office. He interacts with corporate a lot. Mm-hmm. He's obviously is Michael's enemy, or Michael is his enemy. And yeah, I think that's a good pick. Just simply to learn about the office as a business, I would go to Toby. To just feel like what happens there day to day. For me, just pure podcast guest, I'm going Meredith every single time when I can.
Of course.
I she's going to not have a filter. She's going to say whatever she's on her mind. She's not going to hide things. She's gonna be okay talking gossip, but she's also going to talk about... I just think she'd be the most fun.
Yeah.
I think you could really talk with her for a while. And she'd have a lot of memories. She'd have a lot of... She'd just have a lot of fun with it and bring a lot of energy to the show, which would be needed on our show.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I would love to have Meredith on.
You vodka man, Alex? Me too.
Yeah, she'd have a drink in her hand, and I'd be like, oh, Meredith's having a drink. Let me go get some scotch. And we'd just have a great old time.
We could try. It might get off the rails. We could try to corral her, but she would just, I would come in and she would be like, oh, Manuel, Clino El Floro. And I wouldn't have any, that's what I'd have to do. Sean would come in and the same thing, the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darn.
That's a great question. Thank you so much for sending that in, Corey. All right. I think let's move on to...
Hey, remember that week in the 90s when we got bagels?
That was Clinton. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Friends, MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. That's why MeUndies not only uses sustainable, breathable, soft-as-heck fabric, but they also give you endless styles to choose from. It's total comfort, inside and out. MeUndies offers classic colors to ridiculous prints. It's all so you can fully express yourself in your own unique way. You better bet I have a pair of office MeUndies. Dunder Mifflin logo right down the side, all sorts of little office decals all over. I use them when I go on plane rides. I ever since I've used MeUndies for the plane, it just works. It makes sense. It's a beautiful, beautiful garment. Never leave your couch again without a MeUndies membership, a monthly subscription that sends new pairs right to your door. Each month, you'll choose new undies, socks, or a bralette and pick the style and color or print that feels most you. Fun, right? Fun!
Fun!
Plus, enjoy discounted pricing, free shipping, and early exclusive access to new launches. Love your butt and get the membership. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. Oh, our listeners. Sorry, guys. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping right to your door. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy.
Hakuna Matata.
If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund it or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. I would have some questions, but they do not. To get your 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/Scott. That's MeUndies.com/Scott.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I personally have been in therapy for the last few years, and I highly recommend it to everyone. I was very excited when we had the opportunity to have BetterHelp as a sponsor for our show, because I really think it can be helpful to a lot of people. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional online counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit BetterHelp.com/Scott. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Thank you, doctor. Take two of these and call me in the morning. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for the Michael Scott Podcast Company listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Scott.
Let's go to Ordinary Things.
That is our building. And we sell paper.
All right, guys. In this episode, the office plays bells, bourbon, and bullets to distract themselves from a potential disaster. What's a time that you have used a game to distract yourself from something?
That's a very good question. I used to play Dolphin Olympics, which is a Flash game on the internet. I think it's Dolphin Olympics 3. I would play that in school. I would play like in the library or like in our newspaper class, our journalism class. Yes. I got extremely good at it. I did get to the restaurant at the edge of the universe. And yeah.
Wait a minute. I didn't know what you were talking about until you just said the universe or the restaurant at the end of the universe.
So you're if anyone doesn't know the game, which is probably most people, you're a dolphin and you just use your two keys to go up and down, and you are jumping out of the water and doing flips and getting points. But you can keep going higher and higher and higher, and you will eventually get into space, and you'll go by every planet, and then you can grind on stars and stuff.
This is all flooding back to me now.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely played this game. That's impressive, Sean. Good job. Yeah,
thanks,
man. Grinding the stars was bizarre, but yeah. Pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you?
Not what I was expecting you to say.
Yeah, me neither. Wow, what a blast from the past. Good call.
What about you guys? What are your games?
Got anything, Edwin?
Not off the top of my head. I have to keep thinking about it. You go.
Well, I a couple because all of us played over this past New Year's. Usually we all get together and we have a big party with our friends for New Year's, which we couldn't do last year. And to distract ourselves from the pain of not being able to do that, we did a trivia night where two of our friends made trivia based on the movies we'd been watching every single Friday and Wednesday for a whole year.
Yeah.
So out of our wider group of friends, every Wednesday or Friday, at least some of us would get together and watch a movie together on Zoom, where we go like 1, 2, 3, and you hit play at the same time.
Yeah.
And just watch the movie together. And we ended up getting into like a couple hundred movies that
we
all
definitely
watched. And we tracked the list of the movies. The very first one we watched was Roadhouse. And it began as an innocent, like, oh, let's watch all of Patrick Swayze's movies. Mm-hmm. And then it quickly devolved into just...
Now what?
I mean, we were watching Gone in 60 Seconds. We were watching some Miyazaki movies. It just started going all over the place. Heavyweights.
Starship Troopers.
Right. just start naming them.
Yeah.
There were so many.
People would just submit ideas for movies to watch, and we would. It was a good way to try to get through the pandemic and quarantine together. Yeah.
And they tracked all these movies and then made a giant trivia game from all of these movies. It was very impressive, and I was almost like touched. It was such a in-depth trivia game that they made, and it was a very nice distraction. It felt like New Year's was still a party, even though we weren't able to do it in person. And we even pulled off a Secret Santa remotely.
That's right.
We mailed each other gifts, and we opened them on Zoom together. It was pretty cool. And that was a really nice holiday distraction. One other thing. So I actually played a murder mystery game just like this one.
Oh, yeah.
I think you can just print the whole thing out online. I forget the name of it, but it was very similar vibe. This was a little more 20s, swing. It was kind of a swing era theme, and I played a guy named Duke Carrillo, and I ran the local horse racing track, and I had some gambling debts. You know, and it's like you get a character card, and everyone has a thing that would incentivize them to murder the main guy, and you have to figure out who by talking. But as we were doing this, the way this one worked is everyone's milling about, just sort of doing their thing. At one point, one member of the party is the person who is murdered, and whoever's running the game takes them into a separate room outside of it and sets up the murder scene with this person.
Okay.
And so our friend Pete was that person, and he went into an upstairs room, and then, you know, the person running the game comes down and basically does the, there's been a murder! And everyone's like, oh my God! We're all acting like in character, and we all go up, and it was in my fiance, it was at her house at the time, not our current house, and in her room is where they set the murder up, and our friend Pete was laying on the bed with like this, you know, toy knife in his back. but between when they set that up and came downstairs to get us, our cat Walter, who lives with us, had made her way into Anne's room and got up and was just sitting on top of Pete's body, just curled up and doing little milk treading, little biscuits on him. So we all walked in.
Walter, oh my God.
And I could see Pete laughing because he could feel Walter pressing into his back.
That's amazing.
Really broke the tension of the whole thing.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I feel like it would just, well, we know who the murderer is, and it was Walter.
It was Walter
in the bedroom with the knife. Yeah.
Dancing on her prey. Oh God.
Amazing.
Anyway, that was a distraction from that game.
That's good. Hey, I thought of one. A really good one from early in the pandemic when you just had a lot of time. Animal Crossing on the old Switch. That was nice during the early days of pandemic and quarantine.
Yes.
That had a big moment.
Yeah. It was super fun. Very, very engrossing. And then I just haven't picked it up in months. I'm sure that my animal town is overrun at this point with weeds and shrubs and stuff. Also, Stardew Valley was another fun game from that time. Good distraction, which is you're a farmer. And you farm, and then there you go.
That sounds great.
It is fantastic. Yeah.
We even did that. We did Fall Guys for a little bit.
Oh, we played Fall Guys. Times. Yeah, you, me, and Colin. That's right.
I feel like there was a whole run of these really colorful, simple
Sweet
games.
Baby Boinkers.
Sweet Baby Boinkers.
We would play Fall Guys, and in Fall Guys, you just get, like, it's like these obstacle courses, and you just get hit by these ridiculous fruit and propellers and stuff. We would just try to say silly things to each other and try to make each other laugh. Oh boy, just got docked. Like,
oh, I'm getting schloinked out here. Put me in a blender. Good times.
Anyway,
good times.
Yeah. All right.
Do you want to do one other ordinary things or save it? I guess we don't need to. That was probably long enough.
I think that's.
Let's do the. If you're gonna do trivia, we should just do trivia.
Yeah. All right, so for
I'm gonna flip you.
That's so good as an interruption.
Cut!
Boom, boom, boom! Broken nose. Boom, boom, boom!
How dare you?
Sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, so for trivia this week, trivia has been sent in by Eliza. Thank you, Eliza. Eliza says, recently discovered your podcast and have enjoyed listening to it while driving and working out. Because my favorite character on the show is Creed, I thought I'd make you a Creed-inspired trivia set. So here we go.
Okay.
It's gonna start out easy and get much harder.
That's what you said.
What's Creed's real name?
William Charles Schneider.
Bingo. What is Creed's job title at Dunder Mifflin?
Quality assurance.
Exactly. Where does Creed live?
By the quarry.
Yep, so he can throw things down there. what's the name of Creed's blog?
Creed Thoughts.
CreedThoughts.gov.
Correct.
/CreedThoughts.
How did Creed fake his own death? I didn't know this
disappeared?
One either. In the Baylor. used the
Yeah. At the end of the show in the finale, yes. Creed faked his own death in the Baylor.
Oh, yes, okay, in the finale. Right, right.
I remember.
Yes. Do you think you'd know what Creed's first line is and last line from the show?
Oh.
Even if you can, like, pinpoint sort of what he says when.
Is Creed's first line about Devin in Halloween?
His first line is in Halloween.
Yeah. What do you think, boss? Or something like that.
Yeah, it's what are you telling me? Which
yeah.
is what, yeah. what he says after Michael starts to fire him.
Mm-hmm.
And
his
then,
last line is when
but,
he's getting... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he calls Creed into his office first. He says, Creed, and Creed goes, huh?
Yeah, oh, that's right, yes. Actually, Eliza does say, huh, is his
huh?
actual first thing he says, but his first full sentence.
The last
yeah, and
line
then
is
last line.
When he's getting taken away by police at the end. All right, let's go.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's also very arbitrary.
Yeah.
I applied for a job at this company because they were hiring. I took a desk at the back because it was empty. But no matter how to get there or where you end up, human beings have this miraculous gift of making that place their home. All right, boys, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad for a day in the life of a dog food company.
Yes. All right, and to wrap up this trivia, can you name every crime, alleged, assumed, or real, committed or referenced by Creed?
Whoa.
Or by another character talking about Creed in the show? There is, she's got a list here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. About 12 crimes here.
Well,
now we're just
face.
Impersonating the
yeah.
Andy face. From
yeah,
early
making fake IDs.
Yes.
Is one.
Identity yep. theft.
Yep.
Stealing. Some I just form. Love stealing.
Yeah, just theft? Like
casino
stealing
night,
blood bags?
Cheating, or... poker chips, and yeah. Mm,
stealing blood.
But those are all just one, stealing?
No, I'd give you... Well, stealing in casino night.
Uh-huh.
Stealing in blood drive.
Stealing in blood drive, yes.
Stealing
that's
from
there.
The office.
Mm-hmm. We,
reselling,
before the merger.
Yeah, reselling the office equipment.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The thing where he makes the card for Debbie Brown and then takes all the money. The product recall.
That one.
Yeah, I guess that's just like...
The blood that's all over him. On the Halloween
yeah, yeah, let's just say that he assaulted or murdered someone mm-hmm. because of that blood.
Yeah, and here comes trouble. Mm-hmm.
Playing,
we said stealing the blood bag as
yeah.
well.
Stealing the okay. blood bag. Yeah, he steals from another place as well.
Oh, from the egg roll at
that's
the Chinese
right. yep,
restaurant.
Yep, yep.
And he steals Pam's
Twice.
Hash brown.
Yes, that's right.
Steals pancakes from the pancake luncheon.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He steals the Celestial. Toys from the donation drive in Benihana Christmas.
That's right.
And a Merry yeah. Christmas to you.
Yeah, you guys are getting some more on here.
He plays hooky from work in work
mm-hmm.
bus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not a crime, but you know.
Blackmails everyone in that webisodes.
Oh yeah. He's He's been a leader and a follower of...
Cults.
Yep.
Again, not illegal.
Mm-hmm. True.
Faking his own death, as we said.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just some other things listed on here. He hides from the cops and framed Toby, so he must have done something
there.
Oh,
yeah, there. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like...
Forgery?
When's that?
I just assume.
Transferring
with
William
his
Charles
documents.
Schneider.
He's made fake. He's
oh
made
yeah,
fake
that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go. In Roy's wedding, he says the Taliban is the worst. Great heroin though. So we're led to believe he's done heroin or
at the time of marijuana consumption mm-hmm. / possession, knowing of course cannabis, Northern Lights, indica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's yeah. That one's not even on
alleged.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Doing drugs.
Fabulous.
I just looked up in the finale, but
yeah,
for the forgery, when he says he's Jeff Bamondo, I sell ceramic tile out of Newark. And then he says, my wife's name is Catherine. I can show you my social security card if it helps.
Social security guard?
Security card.
Oh.
Yet another Kate, Katie, Catherine.
Yep. There mm-hmm. you go. A lot of those.
Yeah, and then in the finale, Dwight mentions that he sold drugs, trafficked an endangered species meat, and stole weapons-grade LSD from the military. So there you have it. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much, Eliza.
Yeah, thank you.
For sending that in. If you would like to send us your trivia, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also call us, 503-694-9314. Call us and leave us a message. We love to play them on the show. Edwin's doing the face at me again. we're on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And we are on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. Become a Scott's Top for $5 a month. You can weigh in on what episodes we'll be doing next. You can send us questions and you'll get a bonus mailbag episode every month where we get to all, everybody's questions. And
first playlist will be out there this month, mm-hmm. as far as our recommendations for what to watch, read, and listen to.
Most definitely. And we make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund together with those funds. So thank you. Special thanks to all of our Patreon supporters. We love you guys so much. And we couldn't do it without you. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who designs our artwork. And this episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon, over video chat.
Thank you for listening. It means a lot to us that you'll hang out with us, that you'll send us trivia, send us questions, interact with us, engage with us. It's really amazing, and it helps us keep doing the show. You guys are just the absolute best. We love and appreciate you all. And we can't wait to be back with more. So take care, stay safe. We'll see you next week with more stories from This American Life.
Pippity poppy, give me the sovereign.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.